Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to Miles Away. Today we have Laurie Zeno, who's actually been a TPG longer than I have. So I've been here a little over 4 years. When did you start with TPG, Laurie?
Since the beginning.
The beginning.
I'm an original.
And now you are a senior writer. So welcome to the podcast. You live in Spain.
I live in Madrid. I've been there for 11 years.
11 years. Wow. So what brought you to live in Madrid, you know, the very beginning, 11 years ago?
Well, I studied abroad there. That's when I met Brian. And I was living in New York and I was working and I just was so attracted to the culture and the food and the people and I just fell in love and I couldn't wait to go back. So I finally did and then I never left.
Did you set out to move there or you went on vacation and you're like, oh, I'm never going to leave?
Well, I originally went to do a master's degree, which was supposed to be a 1 year program. 11 years later, here I am.
So I've been to Barcelona many times myself. At least a dozen times, I think. I've actually been to Spain, but I've only connected in Madrid. I've never actually stayed in the city. And so you're giving me some looks like, well, it's definitely overdue.
A lot of people tell me that. A lot of people say, oh, well, I've been to Barcelona. You know, it's kind of like saying I'm from the U.S. and someone says, oh, I've been to New York. And don't get me wrong, I love New York, but it's not completely representative of the entire United States. And Barcelona is a great city, but Madrid is really the soul of Spain, in my opinion.
Sell me on Madrid. Why do you love the city so much?
Okay, well, Barcelona, for example, it's a great place and they have some really amazing architecture and you have the beach. Madrid doesn't have maybe all of those huge famous landmarks that you might find in Barcelona, like the Sagrada Familia, but the whole city is like a landmark. It's so authentic. It's so Spanish. It has such a vibe and ambiance. Everyone there, the locals, they just love life. They're always out walking around, kids, you know, older people. Everyone is out all the time in the plazas, the squares. It's got such a nice energy.
Is it a very walkable city?
I always call it a small village, even though it's a capital city. It's also easy to get around the city center on foot. It's very doable.
Where do you live in Madrid?
I live in an area called Barrio Salamanca. It's known for shopping. So if you're a shopper, you want to get to Barrio Salamanca for all the big boutiques and some of the cooler small spots.
How would you spend 3 days in the city? You know, if you're going for a long weekend, what would you say are the, you know, the must-dos, the must-eats? Where in the city would you kind of focus your efforts?
Definitely check out the Retiro Park, which is kind of Madrid's version of Central Park, but quite a bit smaller. It's beautiful, lots of monuments and fountains. It's a really nice place to hang out. Be ready to walk around. It's a walkable city, so bring your gym shoes. And Malasaña, Chueca is a great neighborhood for restaurants. You can walk around in Barrio de las Letras. They have poems on the street. It's really, there's a lot of cool neighborhoods you can check out. If you love art, the city has amazing art museums.
Oh, I've heard that before, yeah.
They call it the Golden Triangle of art museums. They have the Prado, the Reina Sofia, and the Thyssen. And all three are fantastic. So if you love art, you're in the right place. There's a lot of other smaller museums. The Sorolla Museum is really impressive. It's kind of a hidden gem, I think, that a lot of other people don't know about. And eat and drink. It's one of the greatest cities in the world for food. So you can spend a whole day or 2 days or as long as you want just hopping from bar to bar, having tapas, having tinto de verano, which is not sangria. It's better than sangria.
Do they have sangria for the tourists? Or?
Oh, they do. But you shouldn't drink it because sangria, they kind of throw in whatever they want.
Right.
But tinto de verano is always the same thing. It's red wine mixed with Fanta Limón, which is like a lemon drink, or Casera, which is kind of like Sprite, but way better.
What is the food like? Is it similar to Barcelona?
I mean, I may be biased, but
of your favorite dishes?
Well, I think the best thing to do if you want to sample food is to check out some of the food markets. So everybody knows about the more touristy San Miguel market, but there's markets all over the city from really chic, cool ones like Platea. They have really gourmet tapas and different seafood and cheese bars and different things that you can try all sorts of food, or you can go lowbrow to some of these more local markets and just get a slab of meat on a slab of bread, which I know doesn't sound so appetizing, but it's some of the most...
Well, everything's very fresh too, right? I mean,
exactly.
People are shopping for, you know, same day to cook at home. They're going to the market every day to buy ingredients.
Everyone, if you're low carb, it's not a city for you. Everyone loves bread there, but everyone's thin, so whatever they're doing is working, you know?
A lot of walking?
Oh, tons, yeah. But you should definitely try one of the most famous kind of quick dishes in Madrid is the Bocadilla de Calamares. It's like a seafood sandwich, I guess, with fried calamari on a baguette.
I mean, so it's obviously wild. you're eating late, and so you're probably getting started pretty late, too.
I've had dinners last till 2 a.m., and that's perfect because that's when all the clubs open. But, you know, it's funny. Everyone goes out for a drink after dinner. It's called getting a copa. You get a drink after dinner. Everybody does it. It doesn't matter how old or young you are. Everyone goes out for a drink after dinner. It's just what you do. So a lot of bars are open till 3 or 4 a.m. Clubs open 2, 3 a.m. I mean, they open a little bit earlier, but no one actually goes until later. So if you're ready to party, Madrid is your city.
Oh, man. Well, I'll have to stay on East Coast time, but then I can do it.
Exactly. And rooftop bars. You should plan to go to a rooftop bar. They have a lot of new ones in Madrid. A lot of them are on hotels. So the best one in the city for really the most amazing views is on top of the Círculo de Bellas Artes. It's like an art center. And it costs, I believe, 4 euros to go up, and the views are incredible. It's really worth the money that it costs to go up. And another one, I really like the views from the Hyatt Centric rooftop. It's a good one. Or the Deer Hotel has a great rooftop.
You were staying very on brand. I appreciate that.
Right? I'm like, I knew you would want to hear about the Hyatt one.
Speaking of money, though, is Madrid an expensive city? Do you have to, you know, budget quite a bit for your meals and drinks, or is it all pretty affordable?
I am going to go out on a limb and say I think it's one of the cheapest European capitals, at least Western European capitals. Possibly Lisbon can compete with Lisbon, but it's incredibly cheap, especially you guys are here in New York.
Yeah, you can probably have a full dinner, drink pairings, and then go out and still spend less than just a dry meal in New York.
Typically, for dinner out, I won't spend more than 25 or 30 euros during included. That's like an average, but you don't have to spend a lot to have a really nice dinner in Madrid. And lunch menus, go for the menu del día. It's the daily lunch menus. You'll see them on chalkboards outside. So they typically include your choice of, they'll give you maybe four appetizers and you pick one, a couple main courses and you pick one. It'll also include dessert or coffee and a drink, which can be wine, beer, water, whatever you want. But they're usually anywhere from 10 to 15 euros. But that's what you pay for a glass of wine in New York on its own. So
easily. I know you are a super Madrid buff, which I appreciate.
I'm very biased.
You're going to have to show me around when I come. But say you have more than 3 days and you want to see a little bit more of Spain. Are there a lot of day trip options? Can you still stay in Madrid and explore, some of the country?
Oh, absolutely. There's Segovia's nearby. They have a really famous Roman aqueduct. They have a castle that looks like the Cinderella castle at Disney World. A beautiful cathedral. There's also Toledo, which is known for art, and it's kind of hilly and cobblestone streets. You've got Avila, which is a medieval walled city. There's tons of places you can pop over.
And do you need a rental car, or can you take trains pretty easily to get around?
You can take trains everywhere. You've got buses. Trains are good. You can always rent a car, but I think it's kind of scary sometimes to drive in Europe.
It's pretty clear why you have not come back. So we need to take a quick break, and when we come back from the break, we are going to dig into points and miles options for your trip to Madrid. I've actually connected in Madrid quite a few times, even though I've never been to the city because it's the hub for Iberia, right?
Right. Have you been to all terminals or
I've
just
been to
the One World
the
Terminal?
The new terminal, which was new when I went in college, so it's probably not very new anymore.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
It was very impressive. It was impressive at the time. It was definitely the nicest terminal that I had been through. And a huge, huge terminal. I remember walking, endless walking on arrival and then getting to my gate when I was leaving too, so... Which terminal is that?
Well, right. So Terminal 4 is the newish terminal that you mentioned, and it actually has two parts. There's the satellite terminal, and then you have the regular part, and there's a little train that takes you between the two. So that's the One World terminal. And then the other three terminals, Terminals 1 through 3, are in another area about 10 minutes away by bus or car from Terminal 4. So if you're, say, flying into Madrid on Iberia, and then you're connecting to, say, Ryanair or Air Europa or Air France or something like that, you're going to have to take the bus. I mean, guess you could get a taxi, but there is a bus that goes to all the terminals to get to the other three, and then you can walk between those.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I was connecting to, I think it was another Iberia flight on both of my trips through Madrid, so it was very easy to do. So maybe not the best hub to pick if you're connecting to another airline.
Why would you just skip Madrid? You should stay in Madrid for a few days
probably,
and then take your Ryanair flight out to, Bologna or...
Since you're buying multiple tickets anyway, you might as well, pop in a stop over there.
Yeah, and Madrid is, like I said, it's a cheap city. It's really easy to get to the city center from the airport.
Can you take a train just from the airport?
There's so many ways. You can take the metro. It's about 45 minutes, depending on where you want to go. There's airport buses that leave from different places around the city. One's 24 hours. You can take the train system, which is different from the metro. It's only about 20 to 30 euros in an Uber, and it's a flat fixed rate from the airport to anywhere in the city center for 30 euros in a taxi. And it's only about 20 minutes, maybe less if there's no traffic. So it's really just easy.
You fly the low-cost carriers as well, but I see you on Iberia quite a bit. Every time you come to the States, are you flying Iberia?
Not always. I do Oneworld, so sometimes American, but you actually have a ton of different choices from the U.S. United flies there, Delta, American, and then obviously Iberia. And then if you want to change, you have Norwegian. You have a ton of different carriers if you want to be changing around Europe.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very well-connected city.
It's very easy to get there.
And Iberia actually has some very good redemption rates, if I recall, especially if you're going off-peak.
They do. And they're flying their new A350 now from Chicago, which is exciting.
Oh, nice.
Brand
okay.
new
have you
aircraft.
Have you been on board yet?
I have. I've reviewed business class. I've reviewed premium economy, and JT Genter has reviewed economy.
Okay.
I think I
have
got
it covered.
The better end. I think I got the better end.
I would
of the
say.
Deal
so how's the new biz?
It's nice. It's, you know, Iberia, they're not my favorite airline, but it's the most convenient, really, if you're living in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have some great redemption rates, as you mentioned. You can get there off peak for 34,000 avios one way from Chicago.
And that's business
in
class,
business,
right?
Yes,
okay.
Business class, yeah, which is really a great redemption if you consider that's a long flight.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, especially coming if you're on the westbound leg. I mean, it's 7.5-8 hours.
More. I mean, it's almost 9. I think mm-hmm. sometimes if the winds are strong and you're
that's
flying against
enough time to really enjoy it.
Right.
For 34,000 avios, not bad.
Well, the interesting thing about Iberia's off-peak calendar, which you can find online, is that it's really different maybe from the peak times for, say, American. They're working with Spanish time. So July and August are when most Spanish people go on vacation. And so those are all peak times. But there's a lot of holidays in the U.S. that you might be able to get off peak, like around Thanksgiving. Most of October, second half of September is considered off peak. A lot of November around Thanksgiving, too. So you have a lot of options to get those off peak
And that calendar is built more around people leaving Spain than coming to visit.
Exactly. So it really benefits a U.S. traveler that has different times when school lets out. What I really love that I can transfer my Chase and my Amex points to Iberia as well, which makes it really easy to get a bank going there.
Let's talk a little bit about the hotels. I know that you live in Madrid, so you're probably not staying at the hotels. But when friends come to visit, what recommendations do you have for them?
Madrid is having a moment with hotels right now, actually. If you want to use your points, you're in luck. There are so many points properties in the city, around the city, outside of the city that you can stay in. One of the most popular ones is the Westin Palace. It's a Bonvoy. That's 50K per night for a redemption, and they just renovated it. And we have a review out on the site if you want to check it out. Another Bonvoy option is the Santo Mauro.
Another what option?
Bonvoy. Or we could say it in a Spanish accent. It would be like Bonvoy, since we are talking about Spain. So the Santo Mauro, it's an autograph collection property. It's also 50K points. We have a review up if you want to check it out. It is in an old palace, and it's a really beautiful property. It's just very exquisite.
Is the Westin Palace in an old palace as well?
I believe so, actually.
So two palace Bonvoy
hotels. A lot of buildings in Spain are old palaces,
right?
Actually. So a lot of hotels. There's a lot, actually, that are in old palace buildings.
And but how would you say World of Hyatt in Spanish?
El mundo de Hyatt. I don't
know. Okay. That sounds
Hyatt,
better.
I don't,
yes.
Yeah,
but if you have your World of Hyatt points, you have a couple other
right,
options.
Right. So there is the Hyatt Centric, which I love, their rooftop. It's only 20,000 points per night. The Hyatt Centric properties are focused on kind of getting into the local vibe. So they have big fans, like Spanish fans that used to cool off.
Oh.
Well, that's another way to beat the heat. You have to have one of those handheld wooden Spanish fans.
You just carry it around with you and fan yourself?
Yeah,
or fan
all the time,
friends?
Especially on the subway. You'll see, like, lots of people doing that. Or sometimes to block the sun, you'll like hold it in front of your face while you walk. If you want to look very Spanish, you can do that. And the Aloft I mentioned just opened a new hotel there. It's 25K Bonvoy.
25K
I'm
Bonvoy.
I'm changing the way I say it, though. I'm like just going through all sorts of pronunciations with
and,
it.
And then come next year, we're going to have a few more Bonvoy options.
Oh, right. So like when I said Madrid was having a moment with hotels, it's real. The W Madrid is opening in 2020. There's a brand new Four Seasons it has been under construction forever. It's going to be open in 2020, and it looks really stunning. I cannot wait to check it out. I'm going to have to do a staycation.
Maybe I'll wait till 2020. Or I'll come this year, and then I'll visit again in 2020. We'll check out some hotels.
Well, you're going to have to come a few times because the Ritz-Carlton renovation will be complete also. So you're going to have to check that out.
You had mentioned hostels, but it sounds like they're pretty nice, right?
Yeah, I mean, Madrid has a little bit of everything, and it's an affordable city. So if you're going there and you don't have points or you want to save them for a redemption that you feel is a better one, you can usually get a cool boutique hotel or a boutique hostel for a decent price.
An Airbnb? Are there a lot of Airbnb options?
Oh, lots of Airbnbs. Although the city is starting to regulate them a little bit, you can still find a lot. And I find that the Melia brands, it's a Spanish brand, they have some hip properties around the city. The roommate hotels are kind of cool, so you're not going to be stuck if you don't
have
points.
Are you paired with a stranger at the roommate hotel?
No, they don't come with the roommate. I guess you can bring your own, you know, or not.
Well, I'm very excited for my trip. Thank you so much for joining us here in New York, Lori. How can people follow along with your adventures on social media?
I'm on Instagram at Lori_Zeno.
All right. Well, safe travels. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Adios.
Adios. That's it for this episode of Miles Away. Thanks again to Lori Zeno. Again, I am your host, Zach Honig. This episode was produced by Margaret Kelly and Caroline Chagrin. Our music is by Alex Schiff. If you've been enjoying Miles Away so far, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you choose to listen.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.